Please silence all electronic devices.
Representatives Brawley, Sane, Hastings, Martin, Setzer, and Soka are recognized.
So the bottom line is, folks, there are a lot of bad people out there.
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
You're fired!
You know, the guy that used to sit in this chair had a saying, if you think everybody's good, you ain't met everybody.
Any further discussion or debate?
It's Thursday, September 15th, 2016. Welcome to the WUNC Politics Podcast from the American Tobacco Studios in downtown Durham. I'm Jeff Tiberi. House Bill 2 has again been the dominant news story this week. On Monday, the NCAA announced plans to relocate seven upcoming championship events that were scheduled to take place in the state. Then on Wednesday, the ACC followed by pulling a series of tournaments from North Carolina. Governor Pat McCrory criticized the organizations, saying this is a matter for the courts to decide. However, at least two Republicans are breaking ranks with what has been the party line. State Senators Tamara Berenger of Wake County and Rick Gunn of Alamance County each walked back on their support for HB 2 this week. Both lawmakers issued statements in which they called for consideration, at the very least, of repealing the contentious law. Interestingly enough, with less than 2 months until the election, both of these Republicans come from relatively urban districts, and each faces a challenge for re-election come November. Berenger said, in part, with the most recent announcements impacting our state, there are simply too many examples of very sad and unfortunate ramifications and unintended effects of HB 2. That was Berenger. Those effects she's talking about, along, of course, with a bruised ego for the state, have largely been economic. The loss of the ACC football championship from Charlotte would have taken place in December, means the departure of between $30 and $35 million to the region. The NCAA moving men's March Madness games away from the Greensboro area equates to roughly $14.5 million in loss of an economic impact. Those are just the most recent economic examples. PayPal reneged on a plan to bring 400 jobs to the state. Deutsche Bank reversed course on plans for a 250-job expansion in Cary. And the NBA shifted its All-Star Weekend, one of the league's signature events, to New Orleans. So, for some economic insight, we turn now to Todd McFall from the Department of Economics at Wake Forest University. Here's our conversation recorded earlier on Thursday. What's been the biggest economic blow, as you see it, to North Carolina because of House Bill 2?
In the immediate terms, I think the NBA All-Star Game is the real big loser because of not only the revenue that the Charlotte area would have collected from having the All-Star Game, a lot of people traveling in for the game, a lot of people eating out at establishments near the arena, and also the you couple that with the loss of prestige of having an event like that, that's a hard thing to come back from, and that's gone now because of the legislation. I think in the more longer term, the problem is going to be that I see is two things that North Carolina is going to have to reconcile. First is other places are going to have a chance to hold events, and I think that those other places are going to do a good job, and that means that North Carolina, which was in the rotation for having these events, like the men's basketball championships, is now out of the rotation and is going to have to find a way to get back into the rotation. And that's no small task when other places have done a good job and have now inserted themselves as legitimate places that can hold these kinds of events where the NCAA or the ACC doesn't have to worry about the event taking place smoothly. So North Carolina is going to have to figure out a way to get back in the pecking order to hold things like the NCAA basketball championships or the ACC tournaments or whatever event might there be. I think in the other thing that needs to be said here is that there are a lot of transactions that would have been taking place around the state in terms of making sporting facilities better, conference facilities better, hotels that would have been built as ancillary to conference facilities or sporting events. Those things are gone now. No one is going to be building on and improving or making new facilities that are going to host big events in North Carolina until there's a clear signal that the that people who hold these sorts of events, whether it's the the Republican or Democratic conventions or NCAA championships or Bruce Springsteen concerts, until there's a clear signal that people are willing to come back to North Carolina, no one's going to be making those kinds of improvements. And all those transactions, to me, are the most heartbreaking thing that we've lost as a state, because those are a lot of jobs and a lot of positive economic activity that we'll never have anymore.
All right, so in terms of that development or construction or eye on the future, how do you quantify that loss? Can you quantify that loss?
You could. I mean, it's kind of back of the envelope type things, but we could see, for instance, what sort of construction activity took place around the improvement of the Greensboro Coliseum. Greensboro built the pool a couple of years ago, and I know that's housed the NCAA swimming championships. We could see the impact that the Democratic National Convention had on Charlotte a couple of years ago, and what sorts of improvements in the facilities were made there to attract those kind of events. So it wouldn't be difficult to kind of get a back-of-the-envelope calculation with regards to what kind of investments were made in places all over North Carolina, from Wilmington to Asheville to Charlotte to the Triad, and think about how many people it took to build those kind of investments, what sort of job activity was created from those investments, because in my opinion, those transactions just are not going to take place anymore.
This is probably a little more nuanced, but I'm wondering also about bidding for these events. For example, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it's not as though the folks at the Greensboro Coliseum write a note and say, hey, we'd like to do this. Here's our plan. It is a deep and involved process to demonstrate. I know at the NCAA, and I imagine with other organizations and events, it's a very involved process in terms of demonstrating how you are going to put on the event to the satisfaction of that body. Is there any precedent here? Do you have any thought? I'm wondering about the bidding process and if we're going to not have entities from North Carolina trying to land these conventions, sporting events, whatever it may be, because of what has happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with the idea that that these investments around improving facilities or building new facilities are going to be gone. If you don't feel like if a conference facility or an athletic facility doesn't feel like they even have a shot at getting an event, whether it's an NCAA championship or a convention of some sort, then why would it undertake the investment and the effort costs associated with trying to land that event? So I think in the near future, every facility in North Carolina that thought they might have a chance at landing an athletic event or some sort of conference is really rethinking about how it's going to be a viable entity within the community going forward, given the fact that outside entities, outside bodies, are not willing to use North Carolina as a meeting place anymore.
We've had PayPal, Deutsche Bank, the NBA All-Star Game, Bruce Springsteen among a handful of performers, now the NCAA and ACC decisions. What's next? What do you anticipate might be next? Are there other looming? And I should just shut up and let you answer. We had a sense the NCAA was going to do this. We had a sense the NBA offered several warnings. They were not thinly veiled threats. We knew some of these things were coming down the pipeline. Are there other economic kicks to the gut that folks are anticipating around here?
Honestly, I can't think of anything else that would be as devastating as what we've already experienced. I don't foresee artists who have a similar worldview to Springsteen coming to North Carolina anytime soon. There will be other concerts performed here, but Bruce Springsteen has a certain political cachet that he holds too, and he decided not to hold the event here. I don't foresee us losing NASCAR. I don't foresee us losing other events that are less sensitive to the effects of HB2. like the NCAA or the ACC was. So I think the big events have been lost. And now we're just trying to kind of hang on and see what other events we can hold on to. And maybe kind of the opinion of the consumers of those events with regards to HB2 is going to be important here.
At the intersection of contentious policy, which wherever you fall on the spectrum, I think we can almost all agree this is controversial policy, or it has been perceived controversially. At the intersection of policy and economic fallout, is this reminiscent of anything? Does this remind you of anything that has happened elsewhere in this country?
Yes. Years ago, the PGA Tour was going to hold the PGA Championship at Shoal Creek Country Club in Alabama. And it was discovered that that club had no African-American members. And the PGA quietly asked the club to reconsider its membership policy. And the club basically said, no, we're not going to. And so the event was moved away from Shoal Creek. Now, this is one of the four most important golf championships that's played every year. So for Shoal Creek, this was an important moment. It signified that they were a real player in the golf world. And to my knowledge, Shoal Creek has never hosted a PGA championship since it told the PGA that it wasn't going to consider its membership change. So there is precedent for this, and the effect to Shoal Creek, I think, has been long-lasting. It's hosted other big events, and it's reconsidered its membership since then, but it's never gotten a chance to hold a PGA championship again.
So you're talking about one golf club in Alabama. We're talking about an entire state here, and I totally understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate the example, but hearing you just say it's taken a long time for Shoal Creek to get around that, I'm wondering about North Carolina and the comeback that would be involved here. Where does that begin and how does that take place?
I think you're right to worry about it, partially because other places are going to host these events and they will show that they're viable replacements for Greensboro or Raleigh or Charlotte or wherever. And so North Carolina is going to have to get back into the rotation somehow. And to do that, with certain groups like the NBA, like the NCAA, like the ACC, who have shown that they have a distaste for the ramifications of HB2, it seems to me like the first thing that's going to have to happen is that HB2 is going to have to be repealed. That's no small achievement right there. Probably the government might have to be completely overturned through the election process in order for that to happen. But I think the other thing that's happened is that these outside entities have seen North Carolina as a place that is willing to do some things that they find distasteful. And, you know, you mentioned PayPal earlier, you mentioned Deutsche Bank earlier. Those kind of places are really going, even if HB2 is repealed, to me the damage has been done. They recognize that North Carolina is a place that is willing to make legislation that they find distasteful, and they might never reconsider North Carolina. On the other hand, the NCAA has close ties to Raleigh and Greensboro. There's popular teams here. There's a real commercial aspect to the NCAA using Greensboro and Raleigh for NCAA basketball tournaments, for instance. I would think that entity would reconsider quickly as long as HB2 was repealed. But that's got to be the first step in order to get an all-star game back to Charlotte or an NCAA tournament back to Greensboro or Raleigh.
Probably a bit of a semantics question. From an economic standpoint, does it matter if HB2 is repealed or if it's overthrown in the courts? Does that have a difference as to how things will play out down the road, economically speaking?
I think HB2 has to be repealed.
But what if it's overturned in the courts and not repealed?
Then the state of North Carolina has signaled to outside entities that it's willing to pass legislation that some of these entities find disgraceful. And as long as the state of North Carolina is willing to do that, then outside entities are going to be cautious about holding events here or being tied to North Carolina like PayPal or Deutsche Bank was.
What have we in the media, whether that's me personally or the broader media, what have we not been covering? What have we been missing as it pertains to the economic component of House Bill 2?
To me, the big thing that's been missing is discussion of the future of North Carolina. The missing economic transactions that I think are really going to slow down or actually come to a complete halt with regards to improving facilities, whether it's a conference facility or an athletic facility, or creating new facilities that might house elite events like the NCAA Swimming Championship in Greensboro. Until HB 2 is repealed, or until the state of North Carolina signals to outside entities that this is not something that North Carolina agrees with, I just don't think that there's an incentive to go through the risky and costly efforts associated with making these facilities. And that's going to hurt construction. That's going to hurt the prestige of North Carolina to the outside world, because fewer people are going to come here and experience the great things that North Carolina has to offer. To me, the other thing that's really important to discuss, and this is why HB 2 and its passage was fascinating to me, was that Indiana was going to pass a suite of laws that were very close to HB 2 about 3 or 4 years ago while Pence was governor. You know, the current Republican vice presidential candidate was governor, and he was going to pass these. And the NCAA, which is housed in Indianapolis, it's headquartered there, told Pence in no uncertain terms, this is going to be really, really bad for us, and please don't do it. And the community around Indianapolis, which has hosted a Super Bowl, which has fantastic conference facilities where people from all over the world visit.
A Final Four, I believe, as well, in 2011.
And the Final Four. Yeah. And the Final Four, thank you. Told Pence in no uncertain terms, this is going to be really, really bad for us. Please don't do this. Indiana walked back from the ledge and decided not to do this. And, you know, lo and behold, they still have Final Fours. They still host first and second round NCAA tournament games. They still have a thriving conference event market there. So, you know.
Well, right. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but from the political standpoint, where's Mike Pence today? He's running for vice president.
Right.
Turned out okay for him from a political standpoint.
Right. Right. I mean, look, this is contentious. This is contentious lawmaking that's going on. And some people don't have a problem with these sorts of laws. There are other entities that do have a problem with them. I don't think that we can say that people need to change their preferences towards these laws. People's preferences are set, and there's going to be consequences with regards to passing these laws. Sometimes people will gain from passing them. Sometimes some people will rethink the ramifications of them after they've been passed.
Thanks for listening to this latest edition of the WUNC Politics Podcast. You can subscribe to the WUNC Politics Podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Help your public radio friends out a little. Why not share this episode if you enjoyed it on Twitter or on Facebook? Feel free to ask us questions there as well. We'll talk to you soon.